Good evening, everyone. Our first song selection this evening, song titled, He's My King, and this number for this selection is 219 in our hymnals. He's My King, song 219, will be our first song selection.
All day long of Jesus I am singing, He my song of joy will ever be, all the while He keeps my heart bells ringing, for His love is everything to me. He's my King, and oh, I dearly love Him. He's my King, no other is above Him. All day long in raptured praise I sing, He's my Savior, He's my King. Streams of love around my soul are flowing, from His heart love's everlasting spring. That is why my faith in Him I'm showing, that is why an endless song I sing. He's my King, and oh, I dearly love Him. He's my King, no other is above Him. All day long in raptured praise I sing, He's my Savior, He's my King. In His light I'm going home to glory, with the souls who trust His saving grace, going home to sing and tell His story in the blessed sunshine of His face. He's my King, and oh, I dearly love Him. He's my King, no other is above Him. All day long in raptured praise I sing, He's my Savior, He's my King.
Before we're led in our opening prayer this evening, we will sing song number 101. That song title, Close to Thee. Again, Close to Thee, song number 101. We'll sing this song, then we'll be led in prayer.
We're so thankful to be here again this evening and Father, we're thankful to have this avenue of prayer that you've allowed us to communicate with the master of the universe, the creator of all things, and how much of a privilege that is, Father. We're thankful that you want to hear from us, and we're thankful that you listen to us, our concerns, our cares, and Father, that you work in our lives every day, even in ways we don't see. Father, for our number tonight, we ask that you bless us. We ask that you help us to look to that lighted path, the path that Christ walked, that we follow his call and his leading. Father, we know that that results in a home in heaven, that resolves in peace and safety, that resolves in life eternal, and that's what we want, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to give us mercy, Father. We who are called your children, those that have been called by the gospel for many years ago, we still stand in need of your saving grace. We know, Father, we cannot get there on this journey on our own accord, that we must rely on the sacrifice of Jesus. Help us, Father, to remember that, and help us to walk like that's true, like we understand that that's true. Help us, Father, to flee temptations. Help us to extend our hand to the downtrodden. Help us to offer encouragement to those that are discouraged. And, Father, to warnings those that are being tempted, even if that's our own selves. For our number tonight, Father, bless our hearts. Help us to be ready to receive your word. Help us to take this word that will be given to us tonight, and to take it outside these doors and share it with others. Forgive us now, Father, and bless us throughout the rest of this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. The next song that we will sing this evening, A Common Love. This is song 842, if you're following along in our hymnals. I think I have this one in here twice. For us to repeat this as a short song, A Common Love, song 842. If you would at this time mark our song of encouragement that we'll sing after our lesson this evening. That number is 653. That song titled The Way of the Cross. Song number 653, The Way of the Cross. That's an encouragement hymn that we'll sing after our presentation this evening. Before that, we will sing the song Redeemed. This is song 544 in our hymnals. Redeemed, song 544.
Redeemed. Redeemed how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell.
Anytime I have had the chance to go to back to Ukraine during this time of war has been a very important time, but this year it was a little bit different. It was more expanded for me than what I had done in the past. I want to tell you about kind of the travel. It's the kind of picture, because I had a lot of people ask me, how long did it take to get there? How much did you travel? And so on. Well, on July 2nd, about 6:30 in the morning, I took off and drove to St. Louis Airport. And I stayed at an airport place called Park and Sleep. In other words, you could park your car there at this hotel, and if you stayed one night. Then on July 2nd, that day, I took three flights, to the third actually, because anytime that you're going over to Europe, you nearly always fly and get there the next day. Because you're going 6, 7, 8 hours in advance. Well, it took 3 hours to get to Prague, Czech Republic, a total of about three flights to get there, a total of about 15 hours with layovers and everything like that. The flights were all on time, which I was very thankful for. On that same day, July 3rd, I took a train to Olomouc, Czech Republic, about 2.5 hours away. Now, I was always pronouncing to myself this town, Olomouc, but the C is, in their language, is an S, more like an S sound, so it's Olomouc, Czech Republic. Now Prague, just to give you an idea of the size of the country of Czech Republic, Prague was on the western side and Olomouc was on the eastern side, so about 2.5 hour train ride and you got across nearly the whole country. So it's a small country. July 7th, at 12:30 in the morning, we took two trains to Lviv, Ukraine, and it took about 12 hours. Now, it really wasn't that far, and we went, of course, we're going heading towards Americrane. It was 3.5 hours at the border. What they did is that you go through, to get into Ukraine, at the Polish border, everybody in the whole train, about 14, 15 cars long, had to get out with all of their luggage and go through customs. Get checked through customs, and standing up and waiting in line. Well, Eula, which I'll introduce you to here in a minute, the wife of in this family that I'm going to visit in Czech Republic, she said, "I'll wait in line with your luggage." And so I, rather than you having to stand that whole time, because it would have been rather difficult for me, and so she did. And so as they got ready to finally get into the building, to where this was done, I met her, and she was really a blessing to me in not having to stand so long, but it was a long time at the border. Then on July 13th, after AmeriCrane is done, about 6:30 in the evening, on Monday evening, we took two trains to Krakow, Poland, which was about 7 hours, and we had to reverse that. Going back, we had to wait in line again, but it went a lot faster. It was about an hour and a half at that time through the border. On July 15th, at 6:50 in the morning, I took two flights, one to Frankfurt, and then a direct flight from Frankfurt all the way back to St. Louis, about a 12-hour day. July 16th was, when I got back to St. Louis, it was kind of middle of the afternoon, but I knew myself that I don't sleep on planes and that I wouldn't be safe for me to drive home, and so I spent the night and got up early the next morning and drove back to Harrisburg. Altogether, a total distance of about 12,000 miles, probably a little bit farther than that, but about that distance. So it was a long trip altogether, but well worth it. Well, from Prague, this is Sasha and myself at the train station in Prague, and to go back to Olomouc. And while we were waiting for the train to come, he says, "I've got tickets here in Prague, and I'm going to show you something." He took me, and there's a place there the train station, that if you had tickets for a train ride, you could get free ice cream and either coffee and tea. And so we enjoyed some free ice cream while we waited for our train to go. Then now, this is some pictures I want to show you just briefly of Olomouc. They wanted me to see their city. And again, I'm going to try to do this if I can. There we go. This is Sasha here. This is not a clear picture. Okay, this is Sasha. This is Eula over here. Eula was 14 years old when I first met her. And she started coming to our classes, Bible classes that we were having. And when she was 15 years old, she made a commitment to be baptized into Christ, and we baptized her in the Dnieper River in the middle of a rainstorm. But she didn't want to wait another moment. And so we went down through the rainstorm and baptized her in the river. Back up, sorry about that. And then this is her daughter, she's 14, and the son, Max. And again, the picture I'm looking at here is a whole lot clearer than what you're looking at here. But this family I had not seen for 4.5 years since I left Ukraine. And they were very dear to me. Eula was one of our English teachers at our English school that we had in Kremenchuk, where we had lived. Again, this is Sasha, and you can see Eula again, and this is her mother. Ukrainians are very family oriented, and they will not think about putting their family in a nursing home. The mother's doing pretty good, better than she had been doing before, but of course they also wanted her to be safe, because there had been some bombing, of course, some missile strikes into Kremenchuk, the city that I lived in. They wanted to make sure that she was safe, and so they have been living now in Olomouc for several years. This is a Catholic church that we went in to see. I have several pictures of inside it. I'm not going to go in detail about it. This church was built about 1640, and someone said, "How in the world did they make those tall towers in 1640? I have no idea how that was done, but it was quite a remarkable structure. Well, what actually happened while we were there, besides the fact that they wanted to show me their city? It was important to them. This is where they had moved. They had thought they'd wanted me to see Prague while I was there, but I was so exhausted on the plane after we got there that I just didn't want to travel around a big city and, you know, do some sightseeing at that time. And they said, "Well, this is kind of like a little Prague." And the buildings were very interesting. Many of them also were built 1400, 1500, 1600 AD. And I visited, there to encourage this refugee family, the husband and wife and two kids and the one mother. And it was a very special time. But also I had the chance to preach twice at the Church of Christ that was right in this town of about 20 people. The church has been there for, I don't know, maybe 5 years, 4 or 5 years. But the problem is they have about a 78% atheistic population there. And like, for example, where Eula works, they have about 40 people there. and she and one other person are believers in Christ. They're the only ones about of the people that believe in Christ about where she works. They have tried a lot of the different things that we did successfully in Kremenchuk, of English schools and things like that, but they haven't really found any real big key to being able to reach people on a larger scale than what we did. And then we go to a camp. I want to give you a camp overview of AmeriCrane, Americans and Ukrainians. This started 24 years, 20, this is the 24th AmeriCrane that was being held since the founders, and I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. 400 Ukrainians, and James, I thought about this morning when you were talking about this. These were families, you know, that came, and from all parts of Ukraine that were still not under, you know, where that had not been destroyed. And so there were about 400 Ukrainians that were there, and again, the theme was Heaven Bound, and these T-shirts were made in Ukraine, and they were given out to every person. Again, the ones that did the fundraising for all of this paid for all the things like the hotel, well, it wasn't hotel, but a resort area where we've been having this camp for several years now. And it was paid for by a group called Rescue Ukraine. It's a nonprofit of American Christians, American people from the Church of Christ. There were 17 Americans that came to be a part of the camp, of course, including myself. It's the largest, one of the larger groups of Americans that have gone to a Camp AmeriCrane in some time. But it turned out to be very good. They had a place for all of us to work and to be a part of it. There were 4 baptisms that happened during the camp. And again, I'll talk more about this as I show you some pictures as we go along here in a little bit. We were teaching, strengthening, encouraging for Christians in a war-torn country. And these people are so courageous. They've gone through so much in Ukraine, through the war and everything. It's just a real challenge. Well, Tuesday was the first day of camp, and the pictures here, and again, I'm going to hope the pictures are pretty good. They are not bad. This is Elisa. She's the wife of Artur that I've talked about before. He started working with us in Kremenchuk in 2019, and at the age of 24, he was he wanted a wife, okay, but he wanted a Christian wife. And the girl sitting next to me, her name is Lieva, and that was one of his first girlfriends that I met. Mm-hmm. But it's funny that these two later on have become best friends. And this is a picture, you can see just part of the people that are there. And the girl sitting on the other side of me was the first time person to Camp AmeriCrane that year. There were over 100 Ukrainians that were first time to Camp AmeriCrane this year. We didn't get an exact count. Jeff Abrams, who was a director, said, if you're a first time, raise your hand. And a lot of people, we estimated that there were probably at least 100 people that this was the first time there. Understand that since the war began, and I haven't got a direct, this is not an updated number, but over 700 people have become Christians since the war started. Ukraine is the largest Churches of Christ in all of Europe. And not only that, now because they have gone to other countries like Poland, the church in Warsaw, Poland, is growing like leaps and bounds as the Ukrainians, their preachers, are reaching out and teaching people. They have a building that's at least this big that's full every Sunday. And so great work is being done there as well. Now in this picture, there's a lot for me to tell you about this picture. The man in the black shirt, that's Jeff Abrams, and you'll see him in another picture or two. And he was the one that founded and started AmeriCrane many years ago. And the man that is here, that's Stas, and I would tell you his last name, but it's about this long, and I never could pronounce it. They call him Stas T, like T initial, and I think that's a good idea because I don't know any American that could pronounce his name. Now, this lady with the, well, that's, whoops, back up. That's a loaf of bread that she put in the wrong button. That's a loaf of bread. Now this loaf, and you notice the trim there. These are usually used for special holidays like weddings and, you know, special feast days and things like that. Well, this, she decided that she made this bread. She must have lived in Lviv, made this loaf of bread and brought it to us to share with us. And she had all the Americans were lined up, and she brought it. And you could see them tearing off a piece of bread there. And it was, because it's what you do, it was how you express your appreciation for this, what was doing it. Now I'll go on to the next picture. You can see me enjoying this loaf of bread. It's kind of not a great picture of me, but my mouth was full. So come on, please be understanding about this. Every one of us just enjoyed this bread. And when it was done, she had gone through the whole line, there was a pulpit off to the side, and Jeff took it and said, he kind of put this bread underneath the pulpit. And I didn't think anything about it, but he was saving it. He was saving that loaf of bread. And after everything was done and most of the people had gone, he got the loaf of bread out and he set it out there. And he says, now you guys come help me finish this off. Well, there were still enough people there that saw that bread. And in less than 5 minutes, that loaf was completely gone. Because it was absolutely delicious. If you have ever had hot, fresh bread, Ukrainians are famous for their breads, and it was very, very, a very good time. But it was a great honor, I guess is what I'm trying to say, for her to share this loaf of bread with us. In this picture, this is an American, and she is also, and this young man, his name is Vitaly. And Vitaly picked me up at the train station when I came in on Tuesday about 1:30 in the afternoon. And he took me down through the city and brought me into the Marikrane. Marikrane camp was about probably 10 miles north of the city, but still a part, like a suburb, if you will, and where this retreat center was at. And then, of course, these are all the children, the youngest of the children. I miss one person. This is Jen. She's also a very dear person. She is a very much lover of Ukraine and the people. And she spent a lot of time. Now, there's two different cities in Warsaw that have a strong Ukrainian population. And she had spent about 2 weeks before camp started. And then she was going to spend the next month with them, being with them, encouraging them, helping them. And she's got a great spirit for the Ukrainian people. This is Jeff and I and a lady called Ludmila. Now, Pearl, I don't know if you can see this or not. I hope you can. No, can't see it. This lady is probably 92 or 93 years old. I first met her at the first Americrane that I went to in Poland. They used to, from 22 to 24, they had an Americrane for Ukrainians in Poland and Europe, the refugees that had fled Ukraine. And she was one of the people that I met, and she can't speak a word of, you know, English, and I don't speak enough anything to speak with her, but there was that love, that bond that we developed. And she is just a very dear sister and very strong. Well, I was surprised because she wasn't there in 84, and what am I in the 80s, with in 24, the last time that I was in Ukraine, because we didn't go to Poland. Yeah, we went to Poland and she wasn't there. Anyway, I hadn't seen her since 24. Now, I want to show you two other people that I want to talk to you about a little bit here. You can't see them because they're in the background, right over here. This is the mother and this is the daughter. This mother is Svetlana and her daughter is Yula. And Svetlana in 22 was in Poland. Her and her daughter had fled the country in 22 when many people had. And the husbands could not flee. Her husband was back in Zaporozhye because if you were anywhere between the ages of 25 and 60, you could not leave the country unless you had three children. If you had three children, then you were not being drafted into the war. That's their rules. I don't, you know, what they decided. Many people have said they should have started taking people in, as like we do at 18. But they refused to do that. But anyway, she was a new Christian in 22. I got to know her there at the times that I was in Poland. And then in 24, after Americrain in Poland, she went to back home. Her and her daughter decided to go back home. Her daughter was, I said was 14. She's 19 now. But anyway, they went back to Zaporozhye. Now, many Ukrainians did go back out of, you know, out of the European countries because they wanted to be with their families. They just felt like you missed them so much. Zaporozhye right now has been one of the cities that has been heavily attacked by missiles and drones. Svetlana was looking at a picture on her phone one day, and I came up to her and I said, "What are you looking at?" And she showed me. She says, I have this app that shows us where the missiles are attacked and what's happened in our city every day. And she had a large area that what we would call a whole city block or two that was on fire. She said, "Our city is being attacked." And I said, "Why are you still staying there? Why don't you leave?" She said, "Well, we're within a month of deciding whether we're going to stay or leave." She went home. She was the only one that was a Christian. Her daughter was baptized into Christ. Her mother was baptized into Christ. Her sister was baptized into Christ. And her husband was baptized into Christ. She went home as an evangelist and taught them all and brought them all to Christ. That's just the kind of people Ukrainian Christians are. When, like the Apostle Paul told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel, when Jesus told them to go all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, they're doing that. It's not just the preachers, it's the people, the everyday Christians that go and teach the people. This is a picture of our cafeteria, if you will, of where we ate our lunches at. Something was different this year because there were more people there than there had been before. Let's see if I can see. You see the paper plates, like what we would do, consider takeout plates. You know, take out, take home after leftovers. Well, that's how they served our meals. And so when we came in this year to this room, the tables were all spread out. Plasticware or wood forks and spoons were there. Napkins and drinks. You see bottles of water all around the tables. We ate there like that, and that's how we had our meals. Now, some people, there were some places outside of the restaurant area, that little pagodas, and there was tables in there, and several people began to take their food out there and eat. But I want to point out, again, just an individual. This is Daniel, actually, if you pronounce it correctly, and that lives in another town. He was working in Poltava, where our tour works, and he and his wife decided to go and work with another man and family in another town, Venezia, that had no church in it. And this was last summer. They've been there about a year now. And my thought was, I just, what are you doing this now in the middle of the war, going to another town and trying to establish a church? Well, the man I found out at the Camp Americrain, the gray-haired man that's sitting next to him, again, the pictures are not so sharp here, but this man right here has four children. They have four children, and Daniel was an orphan. He grew up as an orphan. And when he was released at age 16, this family took him in and helped to raise him, you know, until an older age. And then he met his wife, and then they have two children of their own. But he wasn't going to work with just anyone. He was going to work with this family that were his, in a sense, parents, adopted family, and the church in Zaporozhye is growing by leaps and bounds. They have, you know, 50, 60 people now attending their church, and that's a big congregation in Ukraine, 50 to 60 people. The church in Poltava, where Artur and Elisa work, is also growing and doing well, but to start a new congregation, you know, in the middle of a war, this is in more towards the western part of Ukraine where this city is, and they haven't had much, kind of like Lviv, where I was at, They've had very little missile attacks onto their cities. But every place is possible in a war, you know. You never know what's going to happen. And I was very thankful that we had no threats, by the way, while we were there. There was no time that we had to go seek shelter. There were signs for shelters, but we never looked it up and found them, just saw the signs for it. But these people, and you notice that there's a lot of older people here. That's because the younger men don't, many of the younger men don't come. Because if they're seen or taken, they can be taken off the street at any time and taken into the military if they don't willingly go. This is a picture, and I'm not sure of the man's name. He's about Brent's height. What, 6'4", Brent? Yeah, about 6'4", maybe 6'5". He's really tall. And you might recognize Stas on the left, and that's Bogdan with his head down on the other side. They're the two preachers in Lviv, and they had just baptized this man into Christ. I wasn't there when this happened. I didn't know that, so I missed this baptism. And so later, about probably 2 or 3 days later, I was walking back to the place where I stayed, my room, if you will, and this man and another man came up and joined with me. The other man spoke good English, and he said, this man had some questions for me. And I didn't even know that this was the man that had been baptized, but he was saying I had just spoken about my message, which I had spoke here, about the second coming of Christ. And he said he just appreciated it. And then I'd had a class, a men's class that I was teaching also. And he said, your wisdom is so great. Of course, you know, yes, I'm so smart. You know, no, I said, no, that's not, I appreciate that, you know, but what can I do? And so he had a few questions. But he said, I just want you to know how much I appreciate you. Here's a new Christian appreciating me. You know, what I'm saying is that I appreciated him for coming to Christ. And he was just a very humble man, very interested in. So, of course, you see he's wearing the same shirt that I am. These are our camp shirts that were given to us this year. This is what they're looking at is a stage that's an open air, it's a closed in shelter on three sides, an open air, and there was a stage there, and we're getting ready to have our camp talent show, if you will. And so everybody's has gotten chairs and getting seated around this place. And you notice again the young and the old. Here we have some young adults. This young man is 19 years old. He is from I can't remember the name of the town, but it's about 12 kilometers from a city called Kramatorsk. Both of his cities and this city are within 4 or 5 miles of the front on eastern Ukraine, where the war is going on. Both those cities are bombed all the time. There's a lot of Christians that are still in Kramatorsk, which blows my mind, you know, because they're going through so much. But he has a bike. He became a Christian about a year ago. He has a bike that he rides from his town to Kramatorsk, about 12 kilometers, which is about 5 miles, every time that Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and if there's anything else going on. And he's preaching now, as doing the preaching in that town. And he's been a great student of the Word, been studying on and off, and he's the only one there that's, you know, is willing to stand up and preach the gospel. And he refuses to move away because he has these people he feels is his responsibility to continue to teach the gospel. Here's our Americans, except for the lady on the left over here. I don't know how she got in the picture. I know who she is. But she decided to join us in our pictures with the Americans. And you'll notice also, you notice the children. Here, this is Jeff's daughter, and here's his son-in-law and his two grandkids. They came to Camp Americrain too. This daughter first came to Americrain, to Ukraine, to work with her dad when she was 4 years old. And they just found, and this is Of course, we have Jeff here. Whoops, got ahead of myself again. This is Jeff again. This is his wife. And then this is a husband and wife team. And oh, I wanted to introduce you to someone. This is David and Galena Binkley. They're in their mid-80s, Georgia, so you can relate to that. They're in their mid-80s, and they went to that city where that young man lived. They went all the way out. After this, they went all the way out there, and they made several trips over the years of the war back to that city, even though under threat of war, to teach and be with the people that they helped bring to Christ. David baptized that young man into Christ. To sum this up, it's hard to sum this up in so many words, but it's not just a camp. It's a Christian family reunion. And can you imagine? And I wanted to talk about that for just a minute too. Remember I told you that there was 100 new Christians there. Jeff also asked, would those that have left had been driven out of their homes and had to go someplace else in Ukraine as a refugee from their homes to other parts of Ukraine, would you please stand up? Over half of the people that were there stood up. So many people have had to leave their homes, and yet they remain faithful to the Lord. Not only faithful, but continuing to do things like this, coming from all parts that they could to, from Ukraine, to come to this. The second part here, in the green part, light green, it says it's pouring your heart out and having it embraced with love and appreciation. And it is. I mean, we did. I mean, every one of us that went did. But you understand something also, that these people also showed their love and appreciation. They embraced the love and the teaching of the gospel. And sometimes you wonder, I mean, like I preached that one sermon there. I preached two sermons in Czechia, but just one sermon here, and then I taught a class also. And I give. I mean, you think that I'm giving so much, you know, but I'm not. I am, but I'm not. I'm giving myself, just like I want to give myself to the Lord's work here. And you're embraced with love. Some of these people that I hadn't seen for 2 years, they saw me from a long distance off and came running to give me a hug, to say it's good to see you again. It's hard to describe what it's like there. And like it says on the next down, it's getting more encouragement than one can give. And it's so true. Every time I've gone to Camp America since the war started, and I went a couple times before the war started, I always come away with more encouragement than what I give. If I'm teaching or if I'm preaching or whatever it might be. Because they give it to me. They give it to me. Any struggles and pain flow away because of all the spiritual blessings given and received in 6 days. When we were working in Ukraine full time, the first years that I was there, we did a Bible camp down at the Black Sea every year. And it was usually 10 days to 2 weeks long. And we grew so close, many baptisms took place at the camp that had been started earlier, Bible studies had been started earlier. And yet, it's not just baptisms. It's great to have those four baptisms that we had. By the way, there has been at least a dozen more that we know of baptisms that happened from people that were there after they've gone back home. But it's about growth. It's about strengthening. Think about, would you need strengthening if you lived in a war-torn country? Would you need to be loved and appreciated and known that you were safe and that you could come and have this kind of fellowship and growth? I know it's, you know, and I mean, I'll be honest with you. I did a lot of walking, did a lot of standing. My left foot heel gives me a lot of trouble if I stand for a long time. I'm okay tonight, okay? Usually I've been doing okay for this period of time. But it goes away, you know? It goes away. Like when I get up to preach, if I have a headache or something like that, I don't even notice it while I'm preaching. And I can sit down maybe afterwards, then I notice and realize it. It's been that way all my life. I mean, if you don't feel good, you go ahead and do what you're supposed to do. But it doesn't matter when you have all that God is working in and through you and with you. So what's next? Well, first, I want to say a great big thank you for the church's support here and allowing me to go and helping me with my flight costs with this. It was a big, big, big help. Really appreciate it. But what's next? I don't know. War continuing on. I hope it ends. Hope it ends before another time. What about health? My health? I don't know. What about life? Will I be alive even, you know? We hope that all that's so. We don't know what's going to happen in our lives. Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow?
No.
We don't know, do we? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We just have to take one day at a time. That's what Jesus teaches us. I have come to know much of this Ukrainian family for 26 years, except that there were over 100 new people, as I talked about, there this year. I'm thankful to know you and to get to know you as a Christian family, to know you better so we can grow closer together as we do the work of the Lord. I'm very thankful that you're a part of this Ukrainian mission, because without people, without churches like you, this work would not be done, could not be done. I want you to be proud of me for taking on this Ukrainian mission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I hope I'm representing you well as I go. Matter of fact, if some of you want to go with me next year, we can make arrangements and we can travel together. I think it would be a great blessing to you. I want you to be proud of the evangelism that we're doing here. I want you to be proud of those kind of numbers and numbers of growing and teaching people. We should be proud because, you know, many congregations are not willing to begin to do something like this. We made a difference this year. We're making a difference as we go about doing God's work. Reaching the lost is a huge part of our mission for Christ. Like I talked about this morning, if our light stays here, it doesn't do any good. But when we take it out there, then we bless everyone. Let us step up our efforts and not grow weary in well-doing. Won't you come to him now if you need to? And as together we stand and sing.
I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of life if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The Savior trod. If I ever climb to the heights of one where the soul is at home with God, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go.
Can I get a show of hands for anyone that needs to partake of the Lord's Supper tonight? Please be seated. We're going to sing the song, If That Isn't Love. This song's not found in our hymnals. We'll sing this song and then we'll share together the Lord's Supper. If That Isn't Love. Would you bow with me? Righteous and merciful God, with certainty, Father, you have shown your love towards us. You have proven your love again and again. Father, the greatest exhibition of your love, Father, is the gift of Jesus, your only begotten Son, whom we commemorate now on every first day of the week, Father, as we partake of this bread and this fruit of the vine. Father, we see that body of Christ that was abused at the hands of men, that was shamefully treated, that was spat upon, that was just whipped unmercifully, that was nailed to a cross, that was stripped of his dignity and left there to suffer and to die. And our Lord Jesus endured that as a lamb before its shears, not making a sound. Father, he did that because he loves us. And he wants us, Father, to have that eternal relationship with you in heaven. And we have that, Father, those of us who've obeyed the gospel. We have that, and we praise you for that. We thank Jesus for that. And we look to commemorate with love and thankfulness and to glorify that greatest of all gifts as we partake of these emblems. Bless your church now and always as we partake. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Merciful God, we continue in thanks, Father, seeing in this cup that blood of Christ Jesus and seeing its power over the vilest of our sins. Father, we are thankful that Jesus bled so freely that day and that he willingly gave that blood as our atonement, as the sacrifice, Father, that we needed, that we couldn't find elsewhere. We couldn't find it in ourselves or in any other means, only that redeeming blood of Christ Jesus. And so we partake of this fruit of the vine, Father, in remembrance of that greatest of loving gifts. Bless your church now and always as we partake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In a moment, we're going to be dismissed with a prayer. We want to remember those that are on our prayer list. We want to be an encouragement to them. For our shut-in members, we want to let them know that they're important to us, that they're not lost in our thoughts and in our prayers.
Sherry is ill.
Sherry is ill, so let's remember Sherry in the coming days as you say your prayers. Keep her name there often. It's good to have the Poes back with us. They've logged some miles, not as many as Doug, but some nonetheless. And a very good presentation tonight. That was very useful for us to see the encouraging work that's going on there. And I know I was encouraged by it, and I thank you for that. We've got a sign-up list in the back, both for our communion preparation that was announced this morning. There's some spots open left on that between now and the end of the year, and then also for the Sasquatch, our intent to set up and have a booth there. We've got places left to sign on that. So if you haven't signed that yet, sign that. I see Jamie and Deborah. They don't know what we're talking about, and we'll tell you more details here in a little bit. Team two tonight. We've got cards for team two. Our van's out here in case anyone didn't know that was ours. That is ours out there parked underneath the tree on the back corner of the building here. So that's going to be useful in serving our congregation and serving our community and serving our Lord.
What is it?
We purchased a van.
Oh.
For transportation purposes. It's got more seats than a lot of our vehicles have, and we're going to make the most of it. We're going to use it, and we're going to glorify God with it. So we made mention of that before the purchase. We presented it to the congregation that it was something in mind for us to do, and the men went forward with that. And so therefore, check that out when you leave this evening. Anything further before we pray?
Good to be back. I did keep up with y'all over the radio some on Sundays. But just to show you, you never get away with nothing because somebody's always watching. As I'm trying to hustle home, I get a text as I'm coming through Harrisburg that said, "Welcome home, y'all." So you can't hide from McMillan. He's always watching you. So, let us pray. Almighty and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer, thanking you for this day, thanking you for the lesson that we had tonight, and seeing how your word's being spread overseas in a country that's in the middle of war, but yet people still out there and trying to spread your word. And it's encouraging to see the lengths that they'll go to and the danger that some of them would put themselves in to try to get your word to those who are lost. They'd probably be with Sherry and those that have been mentioned that's sick here today. We know that we have a lot of shut-ins in our bulletin, and Father, we just pray that you be with each one of them and help give them strength and encouragement. Let them know that they're being thought about. Let them know that they're being missed. Father, be with this congregation in future days as we go forward. Help us to grow, help us to build, and help us to be your servants. These things we ask in your name we pray. Amen.